Whether according to the Benish Chai or our basic Menshevich Chai, or if they were talking, it's just obviously Kenny. The time we have now is the time of Ben Azmanim, lots of Bochum coming home from abroad, some Mishbochus going abroad for Yom Tov. So I wanted to talk about a particular Shkiach scenario where people ask you, can you do me a favor? Can I give you an envelope? Can I give you some money to take to the place that you're going? And what exactly, at the time people take it and they're not sure what to say and they're not sure what to do, and they hope the best that they won't come to Meister, that they'll never have to worry about exactly what kinds of achrayas they have on the money that they're taking. That's the topic I'd like to talk about this morning. I know that the point of these flyers is to advertise the shiurim, and the reason it just doesn't hit Hilchos Shomrim is because I thought if I put the title, how liable is one who takes money abroad for someone else, I'll probably attract the wrong type of interest. But that's the topic for this morning. Of course, there is a certain amount that legally one is allowed to take abroad without disclaiming, and the whole shiur today is talking about taking within that amount. Now, let's talk about the first. We'll start off with a simple scenario. Reuven comes up to Shimon. He says, "You're going abroad. You're going to Saul. Let's say, can I give you this envelope?" He shows him the envelope. It's open. He shows him the money inside it. He seals the envelope and he gives it over to him. And Reuven's ready to travel. He takes the envelope. He puts it inside his jacket pocket, and he goes off on his way. In the airport, someone knocks into him, and he carries on. And later on, he realizes this person was a professional. And during the process, they pickpocketed him. They took the envelope out from his pocket, and the money is gone. So, first of all, Shimon, at first glance, seems to be clear that Shimon is a Shomer Chinom. Shomer Chinom, by definition, is someone who guards, protects someone else's items for free. He has no financial benefit from the act of chesed, so to speak, which he's doing for someone else. That's a Shomer Chinom. And because he stands nothing to gain, therefore the halacha is that he's only chayav for pshia, for negligence. If he's negligent with someone else's item, then he's going to be chayav because he accepted liability. That's what a Shomer is all about. But nevertheless, with Geneva and Aveza, if it gets stolen or lost, or for sure, onus, if an onus happens, then he'll be potter. Now, this being the case, it should be quite clear, Shimon's potter, Geneva, it was stolen from him, he should be potter. However, there's a Mechaber in Simon Reish Tzadi Aleph, where the Mechaber lists that when it comes to gold, silver, jewelry, and money, so Ein Shmir Ela Bekarka, the only place one can actually reliably put it in a place that one knows it's going to be okay is actually to bury it in the ground. And then the Mechaber says, apparently the Ganavim got to hear about this, so then they started moving the location to within the wall, a certain number of bricks down, a certain number of bricks up. But upon it, the Mechaber carries on, and in Sifu Tzeth he says as follows, Tamezom Amurim Shiksofim Einam Shmir El Bekarka, Beshoah Shiknovim. When is it that we say in Shmir al Bekarka? When there are loads of Ganovim around looking and digging up and everything else. But in a normal scenario, you don't have to actually bury them in the ground. You can leave the money in a place that you leave your own money, wherever you are happy to leave your own money. That's where you can leave this money. However, just before one gets carried away, says the Ramah, now don't think, for example, if a person is careless with their own money and they leave it next to an open window in their dining room, that means that I can leave this other person's money there as well. I'm looking after it the same as I'm looking after my own money. What's the problem? So says Ramon, no, obviously if you're acting responsibly and liably with your own money, then you can do the same thing with this money you've been given. You don't have to start digging up the ground. You don't have to start investing in a safe if you don't have one already. Obviously if a person was to have a safe and keep their own money in that safe, and they were given this money to look after for a long term period, then they'd have to keep it in the safe. Now, the Mechaber carries on. The Mechaber in Sifu Tzeth says that even when there are a lot of Ganovim around, when is it one has to bury it in the ground, or nowadays, so to speak, put it in the safe? That's only in a case where you're being given the money to look after for a period of time. But if you're given the money to do deals with, the person gives you money that he wants you to invest in, the whole time you're busy with it back and forth, so you need it readily accessible, then avadri, you're not mechuyev to keep it in the ground. And then the Mechaber follows on to our scenario. Says the Mechaber, So either a person meets his friend on the way and says, oh, you're going back home, can you do me a favor and take this money back home? Or, Saka Ateh, he gives him, and everyone gives him money and says, can you please take it for me from A to B? So says the Mechaber. And Tzmichim, Shiyu Tzuruim, Umunachim, B'yodah, you need that they're tied up in your hand, or Yikushurim, Kuroi, Al-Biknoi, and you can get Ponob, or tied up around your stomach in front of you, Ashi, Agir, Le-Beisai, V'yikvom, Kuroi, and then you have to bury it. And they Koshom, B'der, Chazes,
So the Mechaber, you have to nowadays recall a money belt. The person has to start to carry it in a money belt, and if you don't carry it in a money belt, then you're going to be chayav. That's what the Mechaber says. Now the Shach here says, one second, when we were speaking about keep burying the money in your garden, the Mechaber says, but if the scenario is relatively normal, in normal cases, then a person can treat it like their own money. So says the Shach, therefore here as well, even though the Mechaber is not mashma, the Mechaber is mashma when it comes to walking around the street with money, you have to really put it in a money belt, even if you keep your own money in your wallet, but this other person's money you have to have strapped onto you really secure. But says the Shach, it doesn't seem to be that that should be the halacha. Like we find early on, as long as the situation, we're not talking about rampant ganavim and stopping everyone in the streets, so as long as that's the situation, so in the same way you keep your money in your wallet, in your pocket, you can keep their money in the wallet, in the pocket. And that's how the Nesivos Paskins, that's a good enough shmir. However, again, like we mentioned, you're allowed to keep it like you keep your own money, but that's only if you keep your own money in an accepted method. Right? Now, if a person keeps their own money sticking out in their shirt pockets, right, to take an extreme, so avada, everyone would understand. I can't put his money there as well and say, look, I'm looking after it the same as my own money. So what's called an accepted method of transferring money? So there's a tshuva in Shevet Halevi, in Vodna, where he says as follows. Mikomokim beinin hashmira zaasi dati ani zaaf agav mavu b'chayshmisho sin reis adialas ein tov yishmir rak kederach hashreimim kesef al atzmon. Even though, so it is in Chilek Ches Shin Yud Beis. Says Rami Vodna. Even though we say that you can carry it like you look after your own money, the kol mokum kol boi das, anyone of sound mind, ain't a nice and kaspa is sum godel, the kisa kavmi shalomichnasayim. Anyone whose sound mind doesn't carry a large amount of money in their front trouser pocket. The ain't a shmir cloud as well, that's not the shmir. In the case of the shayla, the money seems to have fallen out of the pocket or can get easily taken out of the pocket, so front trouser pocket is not considered a good shmir. That's what it was in the past tense. Now, he says, sorry, I stopped early. What does he say? L'chol ha'pochus, ha'i lo'i, l'sitin l'kis ha'pnimi ha'choyri shel ha'michnasayim, o'i shel ha'me'il, l'sosne b'kasto k'doyme. So, l'chol ha'pochus, you have to do is put it either in your back trouser pocket and close the button, or inside your jacket, where it also seems to be, he seems to say that you have to close the button. I'm not sure if that means, therefore, if one doesn't have a button in the jacket and puts it inside, could be the mashmas is that he holds that's not good enough. Akaponim is a very important chasm sofer here. The chasm sofer really argues with the chlal putting in any of your pockets. He holds that's not good enough, it has to be really tied onto you, and otherwise it's not a good enough shmir. However, he says, the chasm sofer is brought down here in Reis Fajalus in the Fifth Shulman. He says, if when the gentleman who's giving you this envelope, he gives it to you and straight away you put it, let's say, into your jacket pocket, and he sees that and he keeps quiet, there's a halacha here in Yud Zayin. Halacha in Yud Zayin says, "Hisnei hanifla da menashe leit monam b'karka." Speaking about according to the tzad, you have to bury it in the ground. If someone comes to me and gives me money, and I say, "Listen, I'll take the money, but I'm not prepared to start digging up my garden. I'm very sorry. I'll keep it in my drawer inside the house." And he says, "That's fine." So says, "Mechaber alchein chol dorish yinichelum shloi hakol afi tenai." Of course, when it comes to dorish of a moment, particularly what level of responsibility a person accepts upon himself. So you can say what level you're prepared to accept. I'm not prepared to bury it in the ground. Or even if I have a safe, you can say, I'm sorry, but I'm not putting it in my safe. My safe's full, I need it for my own things. So therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, he takes that one step further. Says, even if you don't specify mafurish, by the way, I'm keep taking my jacket pocket, is that okay? But if he gives you the envelope and you don't put it on the side and later on put it in your jacket, straight away in front of him you put it in your jacket pocket, so you can see that you're carrying it in your jacket pocket, and that should be your pashtus be fine. Similarly too, pashtus, All these shittas would agree that to carry money, someone else's money in your hand luggage would be called a pshir.
Therefore, the hand luggage is, in most cases, especially on a plane, you're not allowed to keep it down by your legs, you have to put it up on top. And that pashas is a shmira. You can't be watching it 24/7. Even if you can, people go to the locker for their own things. Pashas, that would be called a pshir. Never mind that. If someone steals your hand luggage off you in the terminal, it's also it's a pashas, that's called pshir. For sure, going to chasm seva, even keeping your pockets not good enough, has to be strapped onto you. So for sure, putting your hand luggage should be pshir. Having said that, if he gives it to you, you're standing there by the door, you know, normally these people arrive just when you're ready to leave, you're standing by the door, you've got your bags, you've got everything, he gives it to you, you put it straight away into your hand luggage bag. So if he sees you do that and he keeps quiet, that means he's accepting that you should try taking your hand luggage bag, in which case there's no problem. Now, let's take a case where it wasn't stolen. It wasn't stolen from Shimon. But Shimon gets to his port of call, he gets to Yerushalayim, and all of a sudden he gets a phone call, I hear you brought an envelope for me, thank you very much, can I come and pick it up? And he starts looking, and he doesn't remember where he even put this envelope. He's got no idea where he put it. It was a balagan at the time. He's got no idea where he put this envelope. So he said, he's a shemichinom. The halach of a shemichinom is chayef of shir, posse for the neighbor of aveda. So it's aveda, he lost it, he doesn't know where it is, he should be posse. Mechaba says that's not true. Mechaba in Tizayim, Hamakidei to chaver bein kelim bein mois. Doesn't give something else. Vessels or money. Ve'omar, tell me pick zayni. So now he says, thank you very much. Can I please have the thing which I gave you to look after? Ve'omar la'ashema, eini yedea ana hanachti. Because of this. I've got no idea where I put it. Or if there is a mokum kivarti, I don't remember where my garden, I buried the money before. Don't worry, give me a bit of time and I'm going to look and I'm going to find it and everything will be fine, I'll give it back. Pastors and Mechaber, that's negligence. If you're a shomer, you're given something to look after, the first thing you have to do is know where you're putting it. So if you don't even know where you're putting it, that's called pshia. What is called aveda? Aveda is if you know where you put it. I know, let's say that I put it in his hand luggage bag in front of him. He was prepared to accept I keep it in my hand luggage bag. I put it there. I know I put it there. I know the hand luggage bag hasn't gone out of my sight the whole time, because if it would have gone out of my sight or my family's sight, I'm an adult, then that would be a problem. But I know it's been within our sight the whole time, and now I've searched that hand luggage bag, I've emptied it out, and it's not there, I don't know where it's gone. So that's called aveda. I know I put it in the right place. I know I haven't been negligent with the bag, but I don't know where it's gone. That's called aveda, in which case it would be possible. But if you don't have a clue where you put it in the first place, that's called pshia. A person has to know in their responsibility when they take something on, where they're putting it. So this, up to now we've been speaking about a simple scenario, where a person receives an envelope, he sees what's in it, he closes it up, and therefore he's got a din of shem echinom, unless he's negligent. And therefore the advice is that a person puts it, either he says, by the way, this is where I'm going to take the money, is that okay? Or he puts it there in front of the person, and that way that won't be called a pshia. And as long as he remembers where he puts it, then he'll be okay. Now, let's make things more complicated. Let's take a case where a person was taka pshia with the envelope. But when he received the envelope, which is very shriach, it wasn't open. He receives a nice envelope, and he pleads to me, favor, take this census form. He's no idea how much is in it, he doesn't bother asking how much is in it. Of course, we're talking about whether the amount that was in it was within the limit of how much one's allowed to take. And now he gets to so, and he realizes that something, he was pushed and the Hanami with the balagan, he left his hand luggage somewhere, and he doesn't know where it is, and it's been stolen, but nicely he was pushed with his hand luggage, and he's tired, he's masking his tired, no shine about that. He calls that woman, and he says, listen, I'm very sorry, I was negligent with your envelope, how much was in it, I'm prepared to pay. And the woman says, oh, that's a big shame, £7,000 was in that envelope. £7,000? I don't know how many so much money in the envelope. We're not talking about a case where now there's a dispute whether he believes him, I don't believe you, that would be a different problem which we haven't got time for today. Let's say he believes him 100%, I believe you, there's £7,000. But first of all, had I known there was £7,000 in the envelope, and I would have looked after him, maybe in a different way. You look after £100 or £200 differently than you look after £7,000. And second of all, maybe had I known it was £7,000, I wouldn't have been asking to take it. But I need the affairs, so I'm busy schlepping with the kids and everything else. I need to decide the whole time I'm taking the end of £7,000. So what's my luck in such a case? So the Mechaber in Sif Dalet says as follows. Even when a person accepts to be a shomer, he's only chayev for the level of responsibility for that which he accepted to God. If a person if Reuven gives to Shimon the gold coin to look after, the Amaloi, he's Zorba Ishoketaku. Be careful with this silver coin. It's really a gold coin. But he doesn't tell him, let's say it's coated or it's in a bag, he doesn't see it. He says, here's, I'm giving you a silver coin, please look after it, be careful with it. Uposhaboy, Veneva, and he has to pay Shea, and he gets lost. And of course, he's chayav to pay, he's mafim is chayav to pay. Ein chayav ela b'shal kesef. He's not chayav to pay only if it's a silver coin. Why? Sheyem aloi, because Shimon will say to Reuven, loi kibalti alai ela shmiras dinah shel kesef. I only accepted upon myself responsibility for a silver coin. V'chein koch yotze b'zeh, aval mifsidu b'yodayim m'shalim shel zov. If he actually destroys it himself, then you always have to pay the value of the thing which you destroyed. It doesn't help you saying, I thought what I was destroying was worth it. I go into someone's house and I smash a plate and he tells me it was Wedgwood China. That doesn't help me, I was mad, you have to pay. But here, well, I'm only chayav because I accepted it for myself, shmira. And the shmira which I accepted was because he told me it's silver. And now I discover really it's gold, I'm not chayav. Now the story brings down a motzah. The motzah discusses a case where Reuven is given a pikodon or a mashkin from a goy of a sword. Now this sword is a very expensive sword. It looks maybe like a normal sword, but it's really got a large speed, a very high speed value. Reuven lends his sword to Shimon. Without telling him exactly what it's worth, Shimon needs to borrow the sword. Oh, can I borrow this sword? It looks very nice. Yeah, here, you can borrow my sword. Borrow this sword. He borrows the sword, and because he's a shoyl, so it doesn't make a difference what happens, he's going to be chayav to pay, whether it's kenera, whether it's onus, it's irrelevant. So now he comes to pay, and he says, this sword was begotten by a goy, it's worth absolute fortune. One of its kind. So now the motza has a sofik. Is this the same as the mechaber? In the case of the mechaber, we say that if you tell him it's gold and really it's silver, so you tell him it's silver and really it's gold, then the halacha is that he only has to pay for silver. So says the motza, is this the same? You're giving him a sword which he thinks is a normal sword within the normal fluctuation of the price from, let's say, £100 to £200, and really it's worth £1,000. So he says sorachim. He doesn't really answer. He's not clear. The Marshal says it's not the same. It's not the same. In the case of the money, the person giving you this money deceived you. He told you it's silver and it's really gold. So if he deceives you, then you're not mechuyev to take on more than that which he tells you it is. But here, when a person gives you a sword, minastam, you take on the sword, whatever the value is, and therefore you're chayev. The Shach argues with the Marshal. The Shach says, no, you didn't pay attention to the reason given in the Mechaber. The Mechaber says the reason why your potter from paying more than the silver coin is because loiki balti al atmi yosim mekesef. I only accepted on myself liability for silver. If that's the reason why I'm potter, so what's the difference if it's because he tricked me or not because he tricked me? When a person gives me a sword which everyone assumes costs between 100 and 200 pounds, I didn't accept on myself more than the liability of 100 to 200 pounds. And if this is worth 1,000 pounds, which no one should assume it's worth, so why not should I have? I didn't accept that for myself. The Ktsois argues with the Shach and passing by the Marshal, and he explains the reasoning of the Marshal. He says as follows. It's a brilliant psychology. He says as follows. When a person walks up to me with a gold coin, and he says to me, this is a silver coin, can you please look after it? Why is he saying it's a silver coin? Why didn't he tell me what it is? He's stopped looking to play jokes. But why didn't he tell me? This is a gold coin. You want me to look after it, you should let me know what it is. Says the Ktsois, it's very simple. He doesn't tell you it's a gold coin because he's worried. If he tells you it's a gold coin, you won't accept responsibility. He's worried. You're going to be scared. If I give someone here's a painting in the bag, please do me a favor, look after this painting. Fine. If I say, hey, by the way, I just bought a Mona Lisa, please look after it for me. What do I need it for? So when you give someone a gold coin and you tell him it's a silver coin, the reason you're doing that is because you're worried you won't accept responsibility. So then, Taki, you can't make him accept more responsibility than that which you yourself know he doesn't want to accept. You yourself, by virtue of what you're saying, are showing that you don't think he's prepared to accept more than silver, because that's why you're saying silver. So you can't therefore be mechayev him to accept gold. However, in the case of the sword, we have a halacha. We have a halacha. That if a person is a shomer, and then he's negligent, let's take a case, someone gives me a stamp to look after, and at the time when I receive the stamp, it's worth £100. And I've had it by me for a year now, and now it goes up to £150. And then I'm negligent with the stamp, and it gets stolen. So how much am I mechuyev to pay? Says the Ktsois, I'm mechuyev to pay £150. A shomer is meshalim lefi shata hapshir. According to the time when you were negligent. So the Ktsois, how can that be? When you took on this stamp, you're taking the stamp with £100. You weren't mekabel on yourself shmira of more than £100. Terribly, it's not true. A person receives an item, he's mekabel on himself a chayes for this item, whatever it might be. If he doesn't ask, by the way, how much is it costing, or I'm only going to limit myself to a certain value, then min hastam, without making any clauses, we assume a person accepts liability on this item. What you see is what you get. I'm getting a stamp, whatever it's going to cost me at the time and I damage it, that's what I'm going to pay. So it's a ksus, therefore it's the same thing with the sword. When you take the sword, you accept on yourself liability, whatever this sword's going to cost. Even though I might not have thought it was worth so much, if I don't say, by the way, only a normal amount, then that's what I'm going to be chayim. Hashvenke, where he tricks you, because he's tricking you, he's showing you that he knows you're not prepared to accept a high level. If he knows you're not prepared to accept a high level, then you're not chayim at a high level. Coming back to our case with the envelope, the person gives you an envelope. Often you can't tell from the thickness how much it is. It could be 5 panels, it could be 50 panels. So the person gives you an envelope. So if he gives you this envelope and it's sealed and you don't say anything, and now let's say, now this would also depend on who it is giving you the envelope, right? If it's the person in the envelope who normally is very generous with the money which he sends abroad. So maybe one would have to assume that it would be more than that. But let's take a simple case. The person who's in an envelope, he's not particularly close to you, he'd have a half a minute that he'd ask you to do such a favor without telling you what it is. And he gives you an all of a sudden, it's £7,000 in it, and you never had a half a minute. It was more than, let's say, £500. Well, that's the maximum you would have assumed would be in it without him telling you, by the way, there's a lot of money in here. So that will come to me, it'll be a shach and ksus. According to shach, in such a case, I'm not going to find more than £500. That's how much I'm prepared to accept upon myself. However, going to say, you accept an envelope is even better than a sword. A sword, you're entitled to assume that it's worth the normal value of a sword. There is no normal value of an envelope. An envelope is whatever you put into it. So if I receive an envelope and I don't ask you to specify how much is in it, then I know I'm as they call it in Aristotle, check what's worth. I said I'm prepared to accept how much is in this envelope. And therefore, there'll be a machlokes between the ksos and the shach, and the halacha is, and I can say kidney like the shach. That means that the person looking after this envelope, and then he was negligent, can say, I'm not prepared to pay more than £500. He can say kidney like the shach. So therefore, word of advice to people sending money, if you want to send a closed envelope, and you don't want to tell him how much is in there, which probably is tougher because of the logic of the ksos, that you know he won't accept that much money, then the halacha is, if something goes wrong, you should realize you're not going to be able to make him pay more than the normal amount that one would send in such an envelope, and therefore it's kedai tough to let him know. Just by the way, I'm not sure how much time I'm going to have for everything. Everything that we're saying so far, until I say otherwise, is talking specifically about money, cash, and not checks. Checks is a different halacha. Now, what's stuck is the other way around? What happens in the case, other extreme, not a sealed envelope, someone comes out to me and says, oh, you're going to take a soldier in your favor, you're going to see my son. Hey, 450 pounds. No, take, can you give £200 to my son here to sell? He gives it to you, the cash in hand. You take that cash, you put it in your wallet. So first of all, you put it in your wallet, so there's no shaila that he knows that's where you're keeping it, in your wallet, in your trousers, without that form. What's that locker now in your pishaya? Sorry, let's say not pishaya. What happens now if your wallet gets stolen? You had it in a reliable place and everything, and it gets stolen. Now here's a very interesting halacha. The Mechaber says in Sif Zayin. Sorry, this is Reish Tadi Beis. Sometimes in Reish Tadi. Allah says it's Reish Tadi Beis. Mechaber says in Reish Tadi Beis Sif Zayin. I'll tell you outside. The Mechaber says that if you give money to a banker, if it's tied up and sealed and everything fine, then it's clear that you don't need to use this money. So you don't need to use the money. It's a shame echinum. But if it's open, even if it's just maybe got a little ribbon around it or an elastic band to hold it together, but by essence it's open and accessible. So since you know that the derech of bankers are to use money, they need money, that's what they do the whole time, and you give it to him open, so we say that what you're basically telling him, I don't mind if you want to use my money. So if you're saying, I don't mind if you want to use my money, what is that? That means it's a shomer socher. Even though he hasn't used the money yet, that means it's a shomer socher. Why? Because shomer chinam is only if he stands absolutely nothing to benefit from looking after your thing. But here he has a potential benefit. You know, he hasn't touched the money yet. But potentially he knows if he was one to use this money, it's there for him to use. So that makes him have a of shomer socher. The Mechaber ends of the halacha says, if he should serve Tomid Moy. And simply to a regular balabos, a regular person who's always dealing with money and investing and everything else it is, so therefore he's got in like a shulchni, which means if you give someone money open to look after for you, you give someone an open envelope. So can you look after this for me, keep it safe, I'm going away, I'm coming back whenever it is. and you don't specify otherwise, seems to be quite clear from the Shulchan Aruch, he's allowed to use that money. As long as obviously he's going to have to replace it with his own money, but he's allowed to use the actual money. If he's allowed to use that money, that makes him a Shem Estocha. That means if it gets stolen, he's going to be chayav. Even though he wasn't negligent at all, he's going to be chayav like every other Shem Estocha. Now, Mechaber here doesn't speak about what happens when you give someone money to take from A to B. There's Yosef in Yerzeah. There's Yosef in Yerzeah. Just trying to find the right. In Yerzeah, Simon Kustam Ches, Kustam Ches, Talach the Rivis. And there, the Yosef says that when you send money with someone, it's different than when you put it in the house. When you put it in the house, it's meant to stay there for a period of time, so you don't mind if they use it. But when you send it, and you want them to get as quickly as possible from A to B, you want them to quickly give over this money, you don't want them to stop and start using your money. And therefore, he's not allowed to use the money, and if he's not allowed to use the money, he's a Shem Echinom. Now, whether this is the halach or not, it seems to be a little bit unclear. The Mishrat Shalom, the Shalom Shadron, brings a Beis Yosef somewhere else in Chesh Mishrat, that seems to be a steer to this Beis Yosef. Having said that, the Sheva Levi, this one which I mentioned earlier, passes that this Beis Yosef, that a Shliach is a Shem Echinom, if not a Shem Esof. However, nice to say that nowadays, let's take a case of air travel, when you give someone, let's say, £200 in cash, and you know you're going from here to the airport, then the airport is going to have at least an hour of time to kill. Well, there's nothing you can do about it. That's how long it takes. So he has to check in, and then he has to kill time in duty free. And then he's got 4.5 hours on the plane where there's also no way he can make it go any quicker. So also, he's got time to kill. And then when he gets to the other end, then maybe you can get out as quickly as you can. You might be waiting for his luggage, whatever it is. So basically, he's also door you're talking about by air 6 hours. 6 hours which cannot go any quicker. There's nothing you can do about it. Now, I think if there's 6 hours where you know nothing can go any quicker, so the throw of the Beis Yosef, which itself is not clear that he holds that because there's a stew in the Beis Yosef, but the Beis Yosef's whole throw was that in the case that I give someone something to look after in his house, it's going to sit there for a period of time. So if I give it to him open, I allow him to use it. If I allow him to use it, then he's a Shem Estocha. But here, Shliach, I want him to go as quickly as possible. I don't want him to use it. Now here, when you give someone money in the envelope, he's going from A to B. Maybe as soon as he gets to the other end, Ben Gurion, he can take money out the wall and change it over. When he gets to Yerushalayim, he wouldn't have wasted any time whatsoever. He just right now here in London didn't have readily accessible money, or the other way around, so whatever it might be. So therefore, I think it is a very big start to say that if a person gives you open cash, money is open cash like that, so you put in your wallet, then he doesn't mind you using whatsoever, as long as you give the equivalent, same currency, I'm not talking about giving a different currency, you give the same currency at the other end, then it'd be a Shem Estocha, because you're allowed to use the money. If you're allowed to use the money, if it gets stolen, it'll be chayav. What I'm not clear about is what happens if he gives you money in an envelope that's open. Yeah, I'm not clear if the fact that he's giving you an envelope, is that just out of mental chayav, or is that because Tzaka doesn't want you to use it? Why is he left it open? Because he wants you to know how much money he's got. To count it exactly, you don't say afterwards it wasn't all there. So that I'm not so clear about. Al-Kaponim, a number of pointers that come out clearly, let's that one should know when one comes into these scenarios. First of all, when a person, the Reuben, who wants to give over this money, so if he wants to give over this money, he shouldn't give over in a sealed envelope unless it's the amount, Tata, which is within the normal amount that the person would assume is there. Because otherwise, he runs the risk that if something goes wrong, the person won't have to pay more than the normal amount. Mitzad Shimon, which most of us end up being the Shimon, that you end up taking the money. So Mitzad Shimon, a number of pointers. First of all, if you're receiving the money and you don't want to use it, so most shluchim really aren't looking to use the money at all. So if you're receiving the money, straight, if he's going to give it to you in an open envelope if he's heard the shir, because he wants you to know how much it is. You seal the envelope in front of him. If you seal the envelope in front of him, you're showing him, I don't want to use this money. If you're showing him, once you say, I don't want to use the money, then you're going to show mechinam. As long as you leave it open and you keep the option for yourself, then you've got a problem, you'll be a shame mechinam. Who wants to be a shame mechinam? You're almost getting nothing out of this, and all that can happen is sorry, so if it gets stolen, something you're going to have to pay out. So therefore, seal the envelope in front of him, which is you won't have a problem. Or, the obvious solution to all of these problems is when someone gives you money, say, by the way, I'm not a kabbalah chayas. Generally, I found that when you do that, they get very nervous. They're giving you money because they want you to be a responsible person to take from A to B, and you start saying, oh, by the way, I'm not a kabbalah chayas. What does that mean exactly? So, I'm saying, or you can say, listen, I'm only kabbalah like a shemichino, or I look after it, same as I look after my own money, but not a kabbalah. That's what comes out. It's just checks it's like a different, we haven't got time now to go into now, right? Just an interesting story just to show you how mamish each case, even having heard all this, has to tata be go to the appropriate rov for tata to know what the halacha would be. I heard a shayla from a rov, I don't hear who it was, so I don't know exactly how true it is, but upon him, as a zugma, I heard that one person went to a Rav and he said that he'd been given money to look after and he kept it in his back pocket without a button, nothing, just loose in his back pocket, and it got stolen. And the Rav said he's chayav. And a friend of his had exactly the same maestro. And he went to the Rav as well and he said, I have money in my back pocket and it got stolen, and the Rav said he's potter. Two met in shul and they heard the swap stories and said, how could it be? They went back together to the Rav and they said, by the way, you know, what's going on here? Him chayav, me potter, what's going on? Preferential treatment here. So the Rav said, it's very simple. You who are chayav have a short jacket. He wears a frock. You have a short jacket, so there's a flap over here, you've got open pockets, the money's there, that's shit, and I'm walking by and you see the money, he puts his hands in. He's got a frock, it goes down to the ground, it covers everything, that's not a rope. So every case that has to be done for its own cases, but hopefully this will be sometime a guided mission. We're coming out to Shabbos Parashat HaChodesh, Vorach HaChodesh, Mitzvah is the Chodesh of Geula, Mitzvah Shem, none of us should have to send money to anyone, we should all go together, Aliyah Reregel, Mitzvah Shem, and Chodesh.